Thanks, Mel. Good evening, everyone. Great to see you. My name is Steve. I'm the vicar here, and it's a joy to have you with us. Do keep that passage open, John 17. John 17, verses 1 to 5. And I'll pray as we come to look at God's word together now. Let me pray. Lord, thank you so much that we get to listen to this amazing conversation between your Son and yourself. And as we do that, would you open our eyes to see the glory of Jesus? Would you show us the life you're calling us to and speak truth into our lives? We pray, Lord, if we're tired, you'd wake us up, give us attentiveness to the living word of God, and Lord, help me in all my weakness to proclaim your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, friends, I'd like to ask you a question as we start tonight. This is the question. What is your heart's desire? What is your heart's desire? What is it that drives you, that propels you in your life? What is the heart's desire you are living for? And that's a big question, isn't it? It takes quite a lot to untangle how we'd work that out, how we'd explain it. Well, tonight we're going to listen into Jesus' heart's desire. Imagine a stethoscope, a spiritual stethoscope, and we put our stethoscope onto Jesus' heart. Well, we'd hear what that is, his heart's desire from these verses, John 17, 1 to 5. Tonight, in these verses, Jesus is praying for himself. And next week, he prays for his disciples. The week after, he prays for us, those who've yet to believe as we live now. But this week, we hear Jesus' heart's desire. Oh, we put a stethoscope on his heart. Are you listening? Are you listening? Now, the first thing we see is this, that Jesus' heart is for his Father. And it's to give his Father glory. Do you spot that? In verse 17, Jesus lifts up his eyes to pray, and he says this, Father, the hour has come, glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. This is the night before Jesus dies. It's the night where he is preparing himself for the cross. And as he reflects on this moment of glory, of revealing more of who he is and who God is, what is his heart? It's there at the end of verse 1, that your Son, that's Jesus, may glorify you. His desire is that his Father receives glory, that he receives the glory that he deserves, that your Son may glorify you. Then look at verse 4 again as Jesus prays to his Father and reflects on the whole of his 33 years of life. He says, verse 4, take a look, I have brought you glory on earth by finishing the work you gave me to do. That has been the heartbeat of the whole of Jesus' life, to bring his Father glory. From the very beginning to this point as he prays that night, and soon to the end of his earthly ministry before he goes back to heaven, his desire has been to give the Father glory. I wonder, have you ever finished an essay or a job or a task or a project and you're packing away your things and you think, my work is done, and you zip up that pencil case? What a relief. Well, as Jesus looks back at his mission so far accomplished, as he looks forward to the anguish of the cross the next day, as he looks forward to going back to heaven to his Father, Jesus' work is being accomplished, and his heartbeat throughout it all is to bring glory to the Father. Listen in to the stethoscope of Jesus' heartbeat. What does it sound like? Glorify my Father. Glorify my Father. Glorify my Father. Friends, if you belong to Jesus, if you're a Christian tonight, aren't you challenged by Jesus' heart to bring his Father glory? As the perfect divine human, his desire is to glorify his Father. What about us? What about me? So often, Steve Rees is far more concerned about his glory and praise. I love to be loved. I love to be applauded. That's so often my sinful heart. But Jesus' heartbeat is to glorify the Father by finishing the work of God for him. That is the driving force. What about us? Friends, do you want to accomplish in your life all that God has for you right now at school or at work or in your families or in retirement or wherever you find yourself? Are you thinking, I want to do the task that God has for me? Don't we need to pray with Jesus? Don't we need to pray to be like Jesus? Father, give me a heart like Jesus to bring glory to you. I'm so sorry that it's so often all about me and my glory and my ease. Jesus' heart for his Father is to give him glory. Secondly, as we listen to Jesus' heartbeat, look at Jesus' request to his Father. Again, verse 1, glorify your Son. That's a request. Father, the hour has come, glorify your Son. Jesus, so far in John's Gospel, has said, the hour has not yet come. But now, as he prepares for his disciples for his death and resurrection and return home to heaven, he says to his Father, my time has come. It's true. It's time. It's been 33 years preparing for this moment. Now, Father, glorify your Son. You see, throughout his life, from his birth to this, the night before his death, he's been revealing the glory of God, of who he is. I wonder, have you seen an amazing TV series on Channel 4 called The Piano? A piano is set up in the middle of a station, and the most ordinary looking people walk up and begin to play it. And then when they play, it's amazing. You look at them, you look at what their hands are doing, you cannot believe their gift. They are extraordinarily talented. They show the glory of their gifts as they play the piano, and crowds gather and just are spellbound. Wow. Ordinary people, extraordinary talent revealed. You see, too many, Jesus looked like an ordinary man walking the earth. Regular, normal, like you and me. But he kept on doing things that showed his glory, who he really was. Do you remember the wedding at Cana of Galilee? The wine runs out, so embarrassing. His mum says, do something about it. In comes the water. He transforms the water into the best wine. And John, the gospel writer, says this: what Jesus did here in Cana of Galilee was the first of the signs through which he revealed his glory. That amazing miracle revealed who he was. By revealing his glory, that he is God. He is the God-man. And that's what Jesus keeps on doing through John's gospel. He didn't walk around with a halo on his head or trumpet sounding. In his humanity, he looked just like you and me, an ordinary bloke. And yet there were moment after moment after moment where he revealed his glory, that he was the God-man. He could turn water into wine. He could calm the storms. He could forgive sins. He could raise the dead. He could teach like nobody else had, who revealed his glory after his glory after his glory. Glimpses of who he is. As he does all these things, he reveals his glory. And then we get to this extraordinary moment, John 17, verse 1. And the greatest moment of his glory is about to happen. And so he says, Father, the time has come. The hour has come. Glorify your Son. This could be the biggest event in Jesus' life that reveals his glory and reveals the holiness, the compassion of God. I don't know about you, but I love roller coasters. There is nothing like the anticipation of sitting there getting strapped in, and then you do all the spinny bits, but you get to the final bit. I love it. I love it. You're strapped in, and the car begins clicking up that slope. You know what it's like? It's waiting, you're waiting, it's so exciting. And it climbs higher and higher and higher towards the summit. Then you reach the top and you brace. I start to laugh at this stage, hysterically. You reach the top and you brace yourself for the moment that's come, for the big finale, the climax, as you go over the edge and you drop and you scream and you laugh, and then you end back at where you start and you get out. I think that was amazing. I mean, do it all, I'll queue for an attitude all over again. Well, all of Jesus' life and ministry had been building up like a roller coaster car, clicking up the hill to this big and final swoop, this moment of his life to this point, and he's ready. He's about to go over the edge into Good Friday to face the horrors of the cross. He says, the hour has come. And so he says to his Father, glorify your Son. Do it, Lord. Take me to the cross. Glorify your Son. Reveal through me and a watching world your glorious salvation. Glorify your Son. Reveal through me and my death your justice and mercy and holiness. Glorify your Son. Show your dazzling beauty and character through my death. Glorify your Son, says Jesus to his Father, so the way of salvation can be opened up. You see, if you and I had been there on Good Friday, when Jesus suffered and died, if you could bear to look at the sight with Jesus on the cross, covered in blood and shame, in pain, he would have looked far from glorious. You may not have thought to yourself, wow, that is a revelation of God's glory, a revelation of Jesus' identity as a suffering servant. You might have thought, is that really the way of salvation and pardon? But friends, it was. Jesus cries out, chapter 19, it is finished. He knew sin had been paid for once and for all for his people. The time had come. But notice, that's when Jesus prays, glorify your Son. It's not just the event of the cross that he's talking about. It's the whole next steps of Jesus' life as he returns home. So when he says, glorify your Son, he's saying, Father, the Lord, the time has come, take me to the cross. But he knows that is the way to get home again. Look at verse 5. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. When he says, glorify your Son, it's the whole journey. The cross, the grave, the resurrection, the ascension. He's going home. He can't wait to be at home with his Father, to his Father's glory. Growing up in Cardiff, one of my favourite trips as a family was to go to the Gower beaches beyond Swansea. We'd go from Cardiff all the way to Swansea. And in Swansea Bay and in those areas in the Gower are the most beautiful sandy beaches and lovely waves and amazing coastal walks. But there was one problem. You had to drive through Port Albert. Huge chimneys, smog, industry. You could smell it. Me and my brother used to sit in the back of the car saying, Dad, drive quickly. It stinks. Keep going faster. The smell of Port Albert was ghastly. The stench, the pollution was awful. But then you'd pass through it and you'd end up at the sandy beaches of the Gower and you'd breathe a sigh of relief. Whew, the journey is done. Jesus' whole life, friends, had been a journey. Before he was born as a man, he lived with God in glory before the world began in eternity, verse 5 tells us. And his journey involved leaving everything behind, the glory of heaven. He came in this polluted, sinful world. And for the joy set before him of returning home to his Father's glory, to enjoy the glory of his Father, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, taking the pollution of our sins on himself, paying the price for you and me. He scorned its shame, looking forward to returning to God's glory, sitting at his Father's side once again. That's the final journey he's embarking on, the road to glory. That request in verse 1, glorify your Son, is a whole series of events that are about to happen. From the cross to the grave to the resurrection to the ascension to be home with his Father in glory. He could not wait to get there. Father, he says, the time has come. Time to go home. Glorify your Son. Now stop and think a second. The willingness of Jesus for us is amazing, isn't it? He's willingly saying, the time has come for me to die and suffer. What a wonderful Savior we have, friends. Thank you, Jesus, that you kept walking towards the cross and the grave to accomplish God's plan, his mission of salvation for sinners like me, bringing the Father great glory. You see, for sure, whatever God has for you and me to do in this life, in his service for the kingdom of God. And don't be any doubt that God has something for you to do, all gifted, in his kingdom work, will involve suffering and blessing. We've heard that already in this series, back in John 15. It will involve suffering and blessing. And Jesus' heart was to finish the work he'd been given, not to take his foot off the throttle, but to keep going to the next thing for him. So easy, isn't it, at school, to think, I don't want to do that. I don't want to stand out. I don't want to accomplish God's mission for me right there. Easy when you get to my age to think, it's just all about an easy life, winding down for the next 15 years to retirement, whenever that will be. But no, you don't take your foot off the throttle. God has a task for each of us to do. We want to be like Jesus. Lord, I want to be like Jesus and finish what you've called me to do for your glory. Friends, what's your heart? What's driving us forward? Me and my ease, or the glory of God and finishing his task for my life while I'm on earth? Jesus requests the Father, glorify your Son. And finally and briefly, Jesus' gift for his people, eternal glory. The amazing thing, friends, is this. We hear Jesus' words, glorify your Son, and all that means, and this was the way that actually Jesus could give us the gift of life. It's an amazing overflow, isn't it? From God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, that rivers of eternal life flow to his people through the cross, to people like you and to me, from his death and resurrection and return home. Did you spot the work that the Father has given Jesus to do? It's there in verse 2 and 3. For you have granted him, that's Jesus, authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Jesus gives the gift of eternal life to all the Father has given to him, all he's chosen. Now when you think of eternal life, we think of going to heaven, or going to glory land, or of heading to the new heaven and new earth. And sure, that is the final destination, friends. But eternal life starts now. As we trust in Jesus Christ, God's Son, the Savior, the Lord, when we turn to him and become a Christian, eternal life starts now. How does it start now? Well, it starts as soon as you come to know Jesus. As we embark on that relationship with God as our Father and Jesus our friend and the Spirit as our comforter and strength. Jesus defines it so clearly, verse 3. Now this is eternal life, be in no doubt it is, friends, that they know you, that is, know God the Father, the only true God, and they know Jesus Christ whom you have sent. Never forget, a friend of mine was giving their testimony. They stood in front of a big room. I was there. Stepped forward. And they started by saying this, their story of coming to faith. They said, God saved me from religion to relationship. It's powerful, that, isn't it? God has saved me from religion to relationship. You see, religion is just doing stuff to earn your way. But actually, relationship is like being married or being friends with someone. You know them. And Jesus says, eternal life is to know you, Lord God, as Father, and to know me, your Son. The gift of eternal life that Jesus gives is relationship with him now. It's going to get better and better and better until we're in glory. Our church strapline, as we've heard, is discover Jesus, discover life. Discovering life eternally starts now, knowing Jesus. You know, as we delight in Jesus' desire to glorify God in his heart, his request to finish his saving mission and return home, we see the amazing gift of eternal life that he gives to people like you and me. Friends, a question tonight, have you received that gift? Have you taken that step of saying, count me in? Bring me into that saving experience of eternal life through your death for me? If you haven't done it, why not? What's holding you back from this gift of life? Friends, cry out to him and he will give it to you. Today, I'll be delighted to sit down and pray with you and help you to see how you can receive that gift tonight. Friends, if you are a believer, trusting and following Jesus, let's finish with a question I started with. Let's get out our spiritual stethoscopes and put it on our hearts. What is your heart? Surely today, we need our hearts to be thrilled by Jesus' heart and desire to be glorified God, and for our hearts to be like Jesus. As children of God through faith in the Son, don't we need to pray, Lord, I want to be more like Jesus. I need to be more like Jesus. I need his heartbeat to be my heartbeat. I fall so far short, but come by your Spirit and convict me and help my heart to be more like Jesus. And that's so practical, isn't it? For Jesus, it meant enduring suffering for the blessing of others. Maybe we are being called to be the odd one out at school or in the family or in our street or our club or in the Church of England and to face the ridicule, the cancel culture, because we're going to stand up out and proud for Jesus. I know that's God's path for me right now. As a leader, stand up for truth. Glorify him. Don't fear man. Glorify your Father, Steve. Don't chicken out. Stand up for what Jesus teaches. And instead of blending in for the praise of others, we commit ourselves to glorify the Father by sticking out because we want to glorify God and his beautiful ways, just like Jesus did. We want to be like him, our heart. Glorify God. And that's going to be as practical as how we use your money, your time, your phone, your gifts, your talents in response to his love and grace, sustained by the hope of going home. Let me pray. Lord, thank you so much. These amazing verses. So beautiful to hear a conversation between you and your Son. Thank you, Lord, for his heart, just to do what you want and to glorify you through that. And Lord, we want to be like that. We confess, we chicken out. We're so worried what people think. Forgive us, Lord. Give us a heart like Jesus to glorify the Father, that others might receive eternal life and that we'll be known as God's people, unashamed to belong to him, unashamed to follow his ways and his truth. We ask for grace, for the power of your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.